searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Bible reading class. We thank God for each one of you that joins them with us every week. And we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we'll be reading the book of Ezekiel, chapters 21 through 25. And following that, we will begin answering a review question. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to 0. An excellent way to do this is simply muting your phone when you're not speaking, and unmuting your phone when you want to. Okay, right now, we'll do a short prayer so we can get started. I pray for God to bless this teacher and this class. I ask the Lord that you bless the teacher and the students in this. Jesus' name, amen. Now we will listen to chapters 21 through 25 in the book of Ezekiel. Amen. Now we will see you on the other side. Am I having difficulties? Okay. Can anyone hear me? Hello? Pastor O? All righty. Okay, we had technical difficulties for some reason.
Is it on my end or is it on your you guys' end?
Okay, we back. It was
okay.
On my end. Our power went out as you were opening up the show. And
okay.
Now it's back on. So we're going to go ahead and listen to the scriptures, and I got to get everything else all set back up. Okay, so as Deacon Reed said, we will see you on the other side.
All righty. Thank you.
Ezekiel 21. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says, I am against you. I will draw my sword from its sheath and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I am going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. Then all people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its sheath. It will not return again. Therefore groan, son of man, groan before them with broken heart and bitter grief. And when they ask you, why are you groaning, you shall say, because of the news that is coming, every heart will melt with fear and every hand go limp. Every spirit will become faint and every leg will be wet with urine. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. A sword sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Shall we rejoice in the scepter of my royal son? The sword despises every such stick. The sword is appointed to be polished, to be grasped with the hand. It is sharpened and polished, made ready for the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. They are thrown to the sword along with my people. Therefore, beat your breast. Testing will surely come. And what if even the scepter which the sword despises does not continue, declares the Sovereign Lord. So then, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. Let the sword strike twice, even three times. It is a sword for slaughter, a sword for great slaughter, closing in on them from every side, so that hearts may melt with fear and the fallen be many. I have stationed the sword for slaughter at all their gates. Look, it is forged to strike like lightning. It is grasped for slaughter. Slash to the right, you sword, then to the left, wherever your blade is turned. I too will strike my hands together, and my wrath will subside. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, mark out two roads for the sword of the king of Babylon to take, both starting from the same country. Make a signpost where the road branches off to the city. Mark out one road for the sword to come against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and another against Judah, and fortify Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon will stop at the fork in the road, at the junction of the two roads, to seek an omen. He will cast lots with arrows, he will consult his idols, he will examine the liver. Into his right hand will come the lot for Jerusalem, where he is to set up battering rams, to give the command to slaughter, to sound the battle cry, to set battering rams against the gates, to build a ramp, and to erect siege works. It will seem like a false omen to those who have sworn allegiance to him, but he will remind them of their guilt and take them captive. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you people have brought to mind your guilt by your open rebellion, revealing your sins in all that you do, because you have done this, you will be taken captive. You profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Take off the turban, remove the crown. It will not be as it was. The lowly will be exalted, and the exalted will be brought low. A ruin, I will make it a ruin. The crown will not be restored until he to whom it rightfully belongs shall come. To him I will give it. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says about the Ammonites and their insults. A sword drawn for the slaughter, polished to consume and to flash like lightning. Despite false visions concerning you and lying divinations about you, it will be laid on the necks of the wicked who are to be slain, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. Let the sword return to its sheath. In the place where you were created, in the land of your ancestry, I will judge you. I will pour out my wrath on you and breathe out my fiery anger against you. I will deliver you into the hands of brutal men, men skilled in destruction. You will be fuel for the fire. Your blood will be shed in your land. You will be remembered no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken. Ezekiel 22. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols, you have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations and a laughing stock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, you infamous city full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you, they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you, they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbaths. In you are slanderers who are bent on shedding blood. In you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. In you are those who dishonor their father's bed. In you are those who violate women during their period when they are ceremonially unclean. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife, another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law, and another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. In you are people who accept bribes to shed blood. You take interest and make a profit from the poor. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors, and you have forgotten me, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made, and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure, or your hands be strong, in the day I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations, and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness when you have been defiled. In the eyes of the nations, you will know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the people of Israel have become dross to me. All of them are the copper, tin, iron, and lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have all become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin are gathered into a furnace to be melted with a fiery blast, so will I gather you in my anger and my wrath and put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you, and I will blow on you with my fiery wrath, and you will be melted inside her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside her, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you. Again the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. I look for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 23. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, there were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt, engaging in prostitution from their youth. In that land their breasts were fondled and their virgin bosoms caressed. The older was named Oholah, and her sister was Oholibah. They were mine, and gave birth to sons and daughters. Oholah is Samaria, and Oholibah is Jerusalem. Oholah engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, warriors clothed in blue, governors and commanders, all of them handsome young men and mounted horsemen. She gave herself as a prostitute to all the elite of the Assyrians, and defiled herself with all the idols of everyone she lusted after. She did not give up the prostitution she began in Egypt, when during her youth men slept with her, caressed her virgin bosom, and poured out their lust on her. Therefore I delivered her into the hands of her lovers, the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They stripped her naked, took away her sons and daughters, and killed her with the sword. She became a byword among women, and punishment was inflicted on her. Her sister, Oholibah, saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. She too lusted after the Assyrians, governors and commanders, warriors in full dress, mounted horsemen, all handsome young men. I saw that she too defiled herself. Both of them went the same way. But she carried her prostitution still further. She saw men portrayed on a wall, figures of Chaldeans portrayed in red, with belts around their waists and flowing turbans on their heads. All of them looked like Babylonian chariot officers, natives of Chaldea. As soon as she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. Then the Babylonians came to her, to the bed of love, and in their lust they defiled her. After she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. When she carried on her prostitution openly and exposed her naked body, I turned away from her in disgust, just as I had turned away from her sister. Yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of horses. So you longed for the lewdness of your youth, when in Egypt your bosom was caressed and your young breasts fondled. Therefore, Oholibah, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will stir up your lovers against you, those you turned away from in disgust, and I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, the men of Picard and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, handsome young men, all of them governors and commanders, chariot officers, and men of high rank, all mounted on horses. They will come against you with weapons, chariots, and wagons, and with a throng of people. They will take up positions against you on every side with large and small shields and with helmets. I will turn you over to them for punishment, and they will punish you according to their standards. I will direct my jealous anger against you, and they will deal with you in fury. They will cut off your noses and your ears, and those of you who are left will fall by the sword. They will take away your sons and daughters, and those of you who are left will be consumed by fire. They will also strip you of your clothes and take your fine jewelry. So I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you began in Egypt. You will not look on these things with longing or remember Egypt anymore. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am about to deliver you into the hands of those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust. They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. They will leave you stark naked, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this on you because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. You have gone the way of your sister, so I will put her cup into your hand. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. You will drink your sister's cup, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You will drink it and drain it dry and chew on its pieces, and you will tear your breasts. I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. The Lord said to me, Son of man, will you judge Ohola and Oholibah? Then confront them with their detestable practices. For they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to me, as food for them. They have also done this to me. At the same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbaths. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. That is what they did in my house. They even sent messengers for men who came from far away, and when they arrived, you bathed yourself for them, applied eye makeup, and put on your jewelry. You sat on an elegant couch with a table spread before it, on which you had placed the incense and olive oil that belonged to me. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Drunkards were brought from the desert along with men from the rabble, and they put bracelets on the wrists of the woman and her sister, and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said about the one worn out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her, as men sleep with a prostitute. So they slept with those lewd women, Ohola and Oholibah. But righteous judges will sentence them to the punishment of women who commit adultery and shed blood, because they are adulterous and blood is on their hands. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Bring a mob against them and give them over to terror and plunder. The mob will stone them and cut them down with their swords. They will kill their sons and daughters and burn down their houses. So I will put an end to lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not imitate you. You will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequences of your sins of idolatry. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 24. In the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, record this date, this very date, because the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. tell this rebellious people a parable and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Put on the cooking pot, put it on and pour water into it. Put into it the pieces of meat, all the choice pieces, the leg and the shoulder. Fill it with the best of these bones. Take the pick of the flock. Pile wood beneath it for the bones. Bring it to a boil and cook the bones in it. But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed, to the pot now encrusted, whose deposit will not go away. Take the meat out piece by piece in whatever order it comes. For the blood she shed is in her midst. She poured it on the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground where the dust would cover it. To stir up wrath and take revenge, I put her blood on the bare rock so that it would not be covered. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. I too will pile the wood high. So heap on the wood and kindle the fire. Cook the meat well, mixing in the spices, and let the bones be charred. Then set the empty pot on the coals till it becomes hot and its copper glows, so that its impurities may be melted and its deposit burned away. It has frustrated all efforts. Its heavy deposit has not been removed, not even by fire. Now your impurity is lewdness, because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurity. You will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. Then the people asked me, won't you tell us what these things have to do with us? Why are you acting like this? So I said to them, the word of the Lord came to me. Say to the people of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to desecrate my sanctuary, the stronghold in which you take pride, the delight of your eyes, the object of your affection. The sons and daughters you left behind will fall by the sword, and you will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache and beard, or eat the customary food of mourners. You will keep your turbans on your heads and your sandals on your feet. You will not mourn or weep, but will waste away because of your sins and groan among yourselves. Ezekiel will be a sign to you. You will do just as he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. And you, son of man, on the day I take away their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes, their heart's desire, and their sons and daughters as well, on that day a fugitive will come to tell you the news. At that time, your mouth will be opened. You will speak with him and will no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 25. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to them, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you said, aha, over my sanctuary when it was desecrated, and over the land of Israel when it was laid waste, and over the people of Judah when they went into exile, therefore I am going to give you to the people of the east as a possession. They will set up their camps and pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will turn Rabbah into a pasture for camels and Ammon into a resting place for sheep. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all the malice of your heart against the land of Israel, therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will wipe you out from among the nations and exterminate you from the countries, I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Moab and Seir said, look, Judah has become like all the other nations. Therefore, I will expose the flank of Moab, beginning at its frontier towns, Beth Jeshemeth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim, the glory of that land. I will give Moab along with the Ammonites, the people of the east, as a possession, so that the Ammonites will not be remembered among the nations. And I will inflict punishment on Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Edom took revenge on Judah and became very guilty by doing so, therefore this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stretch out my hand against Edom and kill both man and beast. I will lay it waste. And from Teman to Dedan, they will fall by the sword. I will take vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they will deal with Edom in accordance with my anger and my wrath. They will know my vengeance, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their hearts and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will wipe out the Kerethites and destroy those remaining along the coast. I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I take vengeance on them. Ezekiel 20.
All right. Good evening, my brothers and sisters.
Good evening.
We are about to approach the question.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. I'm glad to hear you.
Good evening, my brother.
My good brethren. All right.
Hey, let's get started. I'm sorry I'm late.
No. You're fine. We just finished reading.
All right. Thank you.
And since you have already read it, you didn't miss anything because you read it already.
Yes, sir.
But anyways, yes, sir. Well, let's get started here. Let's go with question number one. Question number one is a fill in the blank. Son of man, blank, it's on the way. It's on its way.
Chapter 21, verses 2 through 7.
Okay, you know what? I could take that. But I had it at 6 and 7. But I could take 2 and 7 because it says, son. Okay, let's go with it.
Okay. You want me to do just 6 and 7? I just started.
No. We can go. We're going to get 6 and 7 after you read yours. You start with yours, we'll end up at 7. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The son of man.
Because
your
dad say son of man.
And prophesies again Israel in her sanctuary to tell her this is what the Lord said. I am your enemy, O Israel, and I'm about to unsheathe my sword to destroy your people, the righteous and the wicked alike. Yes, I will cut off both the righteous and the wicked. I will draw my sword against anyone in the land from south to north. Everyone in the world will know that I am the Lord. My sword is my hand, and it will not return to its sheath until its work is finished. Son of man, groan before the people. Groan before them, bitter anguish and brokenhearted. When they ask why you are groaning, tell them, I groan because of the terrifying news I have heard. When it comes true, the boldest hearts will melt with fear and strength will disappear. Every spirit will faint. Strong knees will become as weak as water. And the servant of the Lord says, it is coming, it's on its way. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
I had 6 and 7 because I was just responding to what they were saying in, from the at the beginning. But, yeah, I could go with all of that. Thank you. And nice to hear you, Sister Risha.
You're welcome. Thank you. Nice to be here.
That's true. Question 2. Son of man, clap your hands and tell me who else will clap their hands.
I have chapter 21, 14 through 17.
That's what I have.
Okay. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Okay. And it is written, so the man prophesies to them and clap your hands. Then take the sword and banish it twice, even 3 times, to symbolize the great massacre, the great massacre facing them on every side. Let their hearts melt with terror, for the swords glitter at every gate. It flashes like lightning and is polished for slaughter. O swords, flash to the right, then flash to the left. Well, wherever you will, whatever you want. I too will clap my hands and will satisfy my fury. I, the Lord, has spoken. Got a question,
okay.
Brother Reed.
I'm listening.
Okay. A lot of things that's been stated in Ezekiel and everything, as we read them and everything, are they basically symbolic? As far as what we're reading, or is this physically what the Lord's going to do?
Well, I would have to tell you on my own, I don't know the answer. So we'll let that guy who leads us so well respond to that. Pastor O?
Yes, these are real events. You know, we have to remember Ezekiel was a contemporary of Jeremiah. He prophesied from 593 right around to about 571. So that puts him about 6 years before they went into captivity. Okay, and, you know, that's why at the beginning of the Bible, any of these books, they have that nomenclature there, the details. And when you find out when he prophesied, his length, his period, then you can place him. And you place him 6 years before. That's why he's talking a lot about Babylon coming, Babylon, God going to use Babylon and take them down. So, yeah, these things literally happened to them. But then this is, again, is just a reiteration of what God told them under Moses. And others, that if they continued in this kind of behavior, this would be their end.
I would destroy
them. Exactly. Actually, if you notice, he continuously says, and then you will know that I am the Lord. So his end is really, his goal is not destruction. His goal is to turn them from the idols back toward him. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So at the end of the thing, they're going to have a better revelation, a better understanding. That's the goal anyway. Okay? Of God. It is not he's going to destroy them. He wants to destroy them. Because all they have to do is like when Jonah went and preached against Nineveh. Okay? God said, go and preach against that city because I'm going to destroy it. But Jonah knew God, and he knew that if the Ninevites listened to his sermon and repented, then God would be like, well, ain't nothing to punish. And then Jonah wanted them punished because they are the Assyrians, right? They came and took Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to those two sisters, took one of them, Sennacherib, in 722, took them into captivity. And the Assyrians were known for torture. Okay, and so they may have tortured some of his people, definitely killed some Israelites. And so Jonah wanted them to get their just desserts. He didn't want to go there, but he knew God was a forgiving God. So, yeah, these pronouncements are what God's going to do. It's like my father used to tell me, he used to prophesy. He would say, thus saith the Bob. That was his name. If you keep that up, I'm going to get you. And you know what? I kept it up, and his prophecies came true. He got me. So he was a prophet. My father was a great prophet. He was prophesying that I was going to get it. And boy, was he right. I got it.
Right.
Was he right?
Hey, Pastor, I think all of our parents had prophecy.
He would prophesy, thus saith the Bob.
Yeah.
If you keep it up, I'm going to get you. Amen. And he was right. So that's what the Lord is saying. The warnings are so that you'll listen to it. Because one time in Deuteronomy 28, I was reading that, and the Lord knew I was kind of tripped out because I think I got about 60 verses over there or more, and 14 of them had blessings. All the rest was what God was going to do if they didn't do the 14. And I asked the Lord, why so many curses, verses, plus chapter 27, it's all filled up with curses. I'm like, why so many curses and 14 verses of blessings? He said, because with all the curses, I would hope that my people would choose the blessings. And, of course, here we are. Where are they? Going into captivity. They didn't pay
right.
No attention to that. They chose. If you read Deuteronomy 28, after you get past verse 14, the Lord says, but if you don't do this stuff in the 14 verses, and the rest of the chapter is filled up with what will happen to them if they don't. And then when you come up here to Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you see it happening. But God don't want it to happen. That's why the warning is being issued.
Right.
All they have to do is, like the Ninevites, just change. And then there's nothing to punish. If I'm going to hit you because you're doing that, well, if you stop doing that, ain't no reason to hit
I'm
you.
I'm not going
to
hit you.
So that's what this is. God always with the, you know, I mean, remember when Moses didn't circumcise his two boys and they was just going back and going on and the Lord said, you're like a dead man to me. And his wife circumcised him. So that Moses' life would be spared. The Lord is real serious about his stuff. And he says stuff like that, but all he had to do was circumcise his kids. Everything would be cool. But what if he didn't? It'd been a whole different story. There's always two sides to the Lord. If the Lord says, do this, automatically you need to ask, well, what if I don't? Because there's always the other side, and God has this thing set up where you do what he says, and you get what he says. If you don't do what he say, you get the direct opposite of what he say. And it's automatic. He doesn't have to get up and do it because he rested, right? So he don't have to jump up and make up a punishment for you. It's built into the sin. It's built in. He's got this thing set up where if you throw a rock up and defy the law of gravity, you better move because it's coming right back down. And if you don't, it's going to hit you. That's automatic. He doesn't have to push the rock down or make it hit you. It's just going to happen. Well, the good thing about being Christian, though, is, you know, he determines if the rock hit us, it's going to be for our good. It's not going to be like for our destruction. It's just for our good. And he won't let it kill us. And if it does, then we're at home with him. So we win-win.
Either way, right, you're still good.
But I still don't want to be hitting the head with a rock, so.
Question number three, y'all. Let's go.
All right. We there.
Why is a sword polished and where will it fall? Why is the sword polished and where would it fall? Yeah. Chapter 21, Mike? Chapter 21, and you said what number?
28.
Okay, why is the sword polished and where would it fall? You said 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 28. You want me to read it or not? Or is that it, 28 and 29?
Wow, I didn't get that one, but I think it could work.
I think so too, Mother.
I had another number myself, but I'm trying to see where I am, what I am.
I got 28 by itself.
Okay, well, yeah, I do. I know. I see what I do. I have verses 9 through 11. Let's look at that one.
For 21, 9 through 11?
Yeah, for number 3. Let's look at that. 9 through 11.
A sword is being sharpened and polished. It is sharpened for terrible slaughter and polished to flash like lightning. Now will you laugh stronger than you have fallen beneath its power. Yes, the sword is now being sharpened and polished. It is being prepared for the executioner. Okay. Mm-hmm.
29.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
What I had, guys.
Okay.
Okay. Well, 29.
All right, let's go to question number 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had, for number 3, I had 9 through 11.
Okay,
question 4. Pardon? Let's see what you have. We never did read what you said. What was the one you had, 29?
It says 28 and 29. It says a sword is drawn for your slaughter. It is polished to destroy, flashing like lightning. Your prophets have given false visions, and your fortune tellers have told lies. The sword will fall on the necks of the wicked, for whom the day of final reckoning has come. So both of them says basically.
Okay, I can go with 28 and 29 as well. Yeah, so that's one of them two answers. Same question, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, number 4. Oh, this is a fill in the blank, so that's real. It should be no problem. Now, this message, blank, by people far and near.
I have 22, 1 through 5.
That is correct.
Well, thank you.
And it reads as what? How does it read, Brother Welch?
Okay, it reads as follows, sir.
Okay.
Now this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, are you ready to judge Jerusalem? Are you ready to judge the city of murderers? Publicly denounce this detestable sin and give her this message from the sovereign Lord. O city of murderers, doomed and damned, city of idols, filthy and foul, you are guilty because of the blood you have shed, and you are defiled because of the idols you have made. Your day of destruction has come, and you have reached the end of your years. I will make you an object of mockery throughout the world. And it continues, O infamous city, filled with confusion, you will be mocked by people far and near. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate you. Anybody
okay.
have any questions? No? Question
okay.
5.
All right.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as everybody listening to what I read and everything, what is that stating to you as far as what God is saying?
So, man, are you ready to tell us? Are you ready to tell the city of America? Give her this message stuff and going, O city, there's doomed and doomed, city of idols. Filth and defile, you are just stuck with blood, you have shed, you're defiled because of the idols. Oh, he's just complaining about them doing what they always doing. They always got idols in their possession, and they worshiping the wrong thing. So he's telling them, like, look, since you can't do what's right, you got this coming. I'm going to destroy it. Destroy y'all. That's what I see. I don't know if I'm wrong or not, but that's what I see.
No, but you know what? God is stating the first number one rule, have no other gods before me.
Oh, truly that. And he specifically responds to that faithfully. You know, you don't put nothing in front of me.
Right.
And it took me a while to learn that. It did. It took me a while to learn that because I always was looking at, I hate to say this, but things. And I'm being honest. It was things. Now I get people dogging me because I don't be buying things no more. Yeah, I see now. I see who's the most important. It's not what I want or what I think I want. It's trying to live a righteous life.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that...
Pastor just said it, you know, he keeps warning you and warning you and warning you. Like his dad, he said he was a prophet. He would tell what was going to happen if you just keep doing what you're doing. And so they just kept doing what they were doing. And so he was warning them. And
He gives you a warning. He definitely warns you, giving you a pre-notice. Mm-hmm. Look, don't do this. Don't try that. Don't make that happen. Stay away from that. Leave that alone. Don't go that way. And I'm like, oh, let me go check and see. He don't know what he's talking about. Let me see if I can get in there and get out right quick. And then we get caught
be
up.
Be pushing the button. Just keep taking chances and keep taking chances until they snatch you up.
yeah. Okay. Question number five. Oh, go ahead.
Noticing in the footnotes that say chapter 22 explains why Jerusalem's judgment would come and how it would come and who would be affected by it. And the leaders whom God chose were responsible for the moral climate of the nation. The same is true today. Unfortunately, many of the sins mentioned here have been committed in recent years by Christian leaders. We are living in a time of unprecedented attacks by Satan. And we must uphold our leaders in prayer, and leaders must seek accountability in order to help them maintain their moral and spiritual integrity.
And you were reading that where?
All over the world. Oh, in the footnotes 22:1-1 and 22:6-13 in the footnotes.
Oh, okay. You did the 6-13. Because I'm like, I thought of one. I'm like, I don't see the rest of what she read, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Clyburn.
You're welcome.
Okay, now let's try question five. Oh, another fill in the blank. So tell them, blank, my fury them. Oh, wow. Let me see that myself. 19, 20. Okay, I got it.
I got chapter 22,
19 through 22.
19
through who?
22.
That's
what I had too.
All right. 19 through 22, the double deuces.
Instead of saying on you, it says them, but you know, them is on
right,
you.
Right.
Okay. I can go with that then. All right. Because I'm like, where's y'all getting this last my fury them? But I see it's on you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See, that's when you're looking in different Bibles. But anyway, I'm on my behalf. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Miss Kat.
Oh, okay. Wait. It says, so tell, that's 19, so tell, them. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, because you are all worthless slag, I will bring you to my crucible in Jerusalem, just as silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin are melted down in a furnace. I will melt you down in the heat of my fury. I will gather you together and blow the fire of my anger upon you. and you will melt like silver in fierce heat. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you.
Okay. You know what? I see I made an error on that one. But number five, it should have stopped at 20. I don't know where I got them from. But, yes, it should have been 19 and 20.
I will melt.
But I had them on the end of it, and them should not have been there. I guess when I said, so tell them, I just was remembering the word them when I did my theory. But anyway, my error, we can take the answer you gave.
Oh, I see.
I had somebody proofread this. They said I was okay, but I got one wrong, I see. Anyway, let's go to question six. Question six. What is six? Oh, who was found that could surely build a wall of righteousness?
I had 30 by itself, but I think the only person to build that wall is Jesus Christ. But that's before his time.
Yeah, 31 is included in that too. 22, 30, and 1.
Okay, you said 30?
30, yep, by itself.
Okay, we'll take 30. I had 30 and 31. I don't know why I did 31, but I got 30 and 31. Let's see, so now I will pour out my fury on me and consume me with the fire.
I'll go ahead, my brother, and read the complete thought. That's what I want us to do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. So now I will pour out my fury on them, consuming them with the fire of my anger. I will heap on their heads the full penalty for all their sins. I, Sovereign Lord, have spoken. Amen.
Amen. Now that's what I had. I had 30 and 31. But okay.
Somebody go.
All righty then.
Okay, somebody. Yeah. Somebody read some footnotes on 30.
22:30.
Mm-hmm.
The wall
spoken of here is not made of stones, but of faithful people united in their efforts to resist evil. This wall was in disrepair because there was no one who could lead the people back to God. The feeble attempts to repair the gap through religious rituals or messages based on opinion rather than God's will were as worthless as whitewash, only covering the real problems. What the people really needed was total spiritual reconstruction. When we give the appearance of loving God without his way, we are covering up sins that eventually damage us deeply. Wow. Don't use religion as whitewash. Repair your life by applying the principles of God's word. Then you can join with others to stand in the gap and make a difference for God in the world. I've always heard my daddy say that's what he was doing, standing in the gap.
And that's true. That's why you hear my brother Richard talking about that in his training day class a lot, that certain things happen in certain cities because people are not praying or don't know how to pray. I pray for our city. I pray for our mayor, for our council, and everybody that works in the city hall, police and fire. And I pray for my street that no evil happen on it. I stand in the gap because the Lord is always looking for somebody. Remember when the Lord came to judge Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't go to Lot or his wife or his children. He went to Abraham, Lot's uncle.
Right.
And Abraham stood in the gap for Lot. And even though the Lord ultimately destroyed the city, he stood in the gap for them. The Lord told the folks that was harassing Job through his trouble, you need to get Job to stand in the gap for you because I'm going to wreck you. But if you get Job to stand in the gap for you, I'll hear him and not damage you. So the Lord needs for us to stand in the gap concerning our kids, especially once they become grown. We have them in our house. We can do a whole lot. We still pray for them, right? But once they become grown, it's real important to pray for them that they stay close to the Lord and don't wander off. So
yes, yes.
The Lord is always looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Do you pray for your city?
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good question. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 7. What's the story of Ohola and Oholiba? What's the story of Ohola and Oholiba?
Now we'll be 23:1-4, or I mean, really go the whole chapter.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a lot about
1-4 is good, though.
Yeah. Okay.
1-4 is what I had.
Okay, good deal. So this says, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, once there were two sisters who were daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt. Even as young girls, they allowed men to fondle their breasts. The older girl was named Ohola, and their sister was Oholiba. I married them, and they bore me sons and daughters. I am speaking of Samaria and Jerusalem. For Ohola is Samaria, and Oholiba is Jerusalem.
Hmm. All right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, on that, so nobody gets lost. On that, so nobody gets lost, Abraham is the father of the nation, right? Children of Israel.
Okay.
Now, when David died, and Solomon became king, and then Solomon died, and Rehoboam became king, a man named Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who used to be one of Solomon's officials, but Solomon fell out with him, and he had to take off to Egypt. And then once Solomon died and Rehoboam took over, he came back. And when Rehoboam acted crazy, the people, the 10 tribes, decided to walk off. Okay, and they were the ones, Ohola, that's Samaria. Those are the Israelites. Those are Israel, the ones, the 10 tribes that took off and left, and only Judah and Benjamin were left in the south. Okay, and Ohola is Jerusalem. That is Judah and Benjamin. But both of them played the harlot on the Lord. Both of them prostituted themselves with the nations around them, and you know when we were when we were reading the kings, they would go under every spreading tree, and they would put up their Asherah poles, and they would worship Molech, sacrificing their kids into the fire and all of that. And so he's describing them as coming from the same father or same place, same nation, but when that split happened, they went off two different ways, but their behavior was the same. You had a few good kings in the south, all bad kings in the north, okay, but both of them prostituted themselves, and so they both ended up where they are.
Okay. Okay.
Because you look at verse 5, Ohola engaged in prostitution while she was still mine. And she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, okay, because those, it was Sennacherib in 722, came and took them in. And so they just melted into that culture. And then even Judah becomes guilty of melting into the Babylonian culture. When all kinds of music played, only Daniel and the Hebrew boys weren't having it. The rest of them assimilated. Because they didn't get thrown into the fiery furnace. So, yeah. So just so we don't get lost on these two and this the Lord be telling these parabolic type stories, and sometimes you can wonder, who is he talking about? Who are these people? And they're, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, kind of metaphoric speaking.
We receive it metaphorically there. Okay, question number 8, please. This is a fill in the blank. For the Babylonians, blank as they please.
I got.
Okay, what is it?
I got myself, chapter 23, verses 23 and 24.
You got it, good brother.
No
way. Go with it.
May I?
So be it.
Okay. And it reads as follows. For the Babylonians will come with all the Chaldeans. And how you pronounce it? And all the Assyrians will come with them, and some young captains, commanders, chariot officers, and other high-ranking officers, all riding on horses. And they will come, and they will all come against you from the north with chariots, wagons, and a great army prepared to attack. They will take up positions on every side, surrounding you with men armed with shields and helmets. And I will hand you over to them for punishment, but they can do with you as they please. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Question number 9. Oh, man, another fill in the blank. Okay, Eric. Now, this is what blank the sovereign Lord.
Is that one, 23, verse, chapter 23, verses 46 through 49.
Ha, 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 ding, ding, question? Yes.
You did? Go ahead, now, ding, 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 ding. Good answer, good
and
answer.
It reads as follows.
Yes,
Now, this. Is what the sovereign Lord says. Bring an army against them and hand them over, terrorized and plundered, for their enemies will stone them and kill them with swords. They will butcher their sons and daughters and burn their homes. In this way, I will put an end to lewdness and idolatry in the land, and my judgment will be a warning to all women not to follow your wicked example. You will be fully repaid for all your prostitution, your worship of idols. Yes, you will suffer the full penalty. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Amen.
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 All right. All right. Let's go to question number 10. Question 10 reads, what was the reason for the pot of water on the fire?
24:1-6.
Hold it, give it to me again.
24:1-6.
24:1-6. Okay. I had 3-5. Mm-hmm. Let's hear 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then give these, okay, so it's just, introduction. It says, on January 15, during the ninth year of King Jeconiah, captivity, this came to me from the Lord. Son of man, write down today's date, because on this very day, the king of Babylon is beginning his attack against Jerusalem. Then give these rebels an illustration with this message from the sovereign Lord. Put a pot on the fire and pour in some water. Fill it with choice pieces of meat, the rump and the shoulder, and all the most tender cuts. Use only the best sheep from the flock, and heat fuel on the fire beneath the pot.
bring the pot to a boil, and cook the bones along with the meat. Now, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. What sorrow awaits Jerusalem, the city of murderers? She is a cooking pot whose corruption can't be cleaned out. Take the meat out in random order. Peace is better than the than another.
You know what? I thank you for that, Sister Clyburn. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take six with that because I had 3 through 5. But six even sounds mm-hmm. better to conclude it. Thank you.
You're welcome. 7, 24.
Okay.
So
question.
We'll kind of give it a little bit more of an understanding. Want me to read that? It says,
ma'am, go right ahead.
It says, Ezekiel gave this illustration in 580 BC, about 3 years after the first of the previous messages. The people in Judah thought they were the choice pieces of meat because they hadn't been taken into captivity in 597 when the Babylonians last invaded the land. Ezekiel used this illustration before chapter 11 to show that although the people thought they were safe and secure inside the cooking pot, this pot would actually be the place of their destruction. This message was given to the exiles in Babylonia the very day that the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem, beginning a siege that lasted over 2 years and resulted in the city's destruction. When God's punishment comes, it is relentless.
Relentless. One heck of a word. All right. Thank you, Sister Clyburn. I appreciate you.
So
question 11, please.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Why set an empty pot on hot coals?
Can I give you a...
Go ahead, my good brother.
Ladies first.
Okay, 24:11-13, it says, right? Now set the empty pot on the coals. Heat it red hot. Burn away the filth and corruption. But it's hopeless. The corruption can't be cleaned out. So throw it in the fire. Your impurity is your lewdness and the corruption of your adultery. I tried to cleanse you, but you refused. So now you will remain in your filth until my fury against you has been satisfied.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's deep, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. That one. 11
I think
13.
14 probably goes with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the end of it there, yeah. It says the Lord, he has spoken. He said the time has come, and he said he wasn't holding back. I will not change my mind, and I will have no pity on you. You will be judged on the basis of all your wicked actions, says the Sovereign Lord.
Okay.
Ties it up in a bow. Mm-hmm.
That was what verses?
That was to 14. Yeah, he said he wasn't.
That was 11 through 13. 11 through 14.
That was 11 through 14, yeah.
Okay.
No, because I was looking at the footnotes from 24, 6 through 13 about that pot.
24.
Okay. Footnotes for 24, 6 through 13.
Oh, 6 through 13. Okay. You want it read?
You can, if you desire.
Okay, it says the city of Jerusalem was like a pot so encrusted with sin that it would not come clean. God wanted to cleanse the lives of those who lived in Jerusalem, and he wants to cleanse our lives today. Sometimes he tries to purify us through difficulties and troublesome circumstances. When you face tough times, allow the sin to be burned from your life. Look at the problems as opportunities for your faith to grow. When these times come, unnecessary priorities and diversions are purged away. We can reexamine our lives so that we will do what really counts.
Wow. All right. Thank you. I read that. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
I like how that said, but my man says, it would not come clean. We won't come clean. Well, we can really mess up people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to question number 12. Go ahead. Sometimes.
I forget it.
Mr. Clyburn, you said sometimes something.
Now, you know how you cooking something and you burn it, a pot and you burn, you cook it too long, like all the water absorbed from it, and it, you know, you're trying to get something off of a pot.
Kathy,
I guess that's just what it's saying, huh?
I have a PhD in that, what you're talking about. All my pots are scorched on the bottom.
Right, me too.
I'll be scraping with them little Brillo pads to get that blackness out.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the ideal of what he was talking about. Yeah. I'm trying to.
Yeah, and that don't come out. Some of it won't come out.
Yeah,
okay. Question number 12. Then the Lord said, blank, I am the Lord.
Is that one, chapter 24, verses 25 through 27?
Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding. Brother, there you go, brother Welch.
Yes, that's 24, that's 25, 27. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
It reads as follows. Then the Lord said to me, Son of man, on the day I take away their stronghold, their joy and glory, their heart's desire, their dearest treasure, I will also take away their sons and daughters. And on that day, a survivor from Jerusalem will come to you in Babylon and tell you what has happened. And when he arrives, your voice will suddenly return so you can talk to him and you will be a symbol for these people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question 13. What will the nomads be allowed to do?
By itself.
Three.
Let's see what you have.
Okay, 25-4. I will allow the nomads from the eastern deserts to overrun the country. They will set up their camps among you and pitch their tents on your land. They will harvest all your fruit and drink the milk from your livestock. Amen.
Okay. I have 4 and 5. And I'll return the city of Rabah into a pasture of camels and all the land of Ararat into a resting place for sheep and goats, and you will know that I am the Lord. Okay. Yeah, 4 and 5. You said 4. Okay. I'm going to go with 4. But after I read 5, I don't see what it really. I will. Hold on, let me read the question again. What will the nomads be allowed to do? And 4 was, I will allow nomads from the eastern desert to overrun your country. They will set up their camps among you and pitch their tents on your land. They will harvest all your fruit and drink the milk from your livestock. And I will turn the city. Yeah, that's why I added 5 of it. And because after he did that, and then it says, I will turn the city of Rabah into a pasture for camels. So instead of being able to have all the cows and stuff that they had on there, he changed the whole setup to where now they're going to have camels and sheep and goats in that area. So I put 4 and 5. Now, to get proper response, we probably need to have Pastor O incorporate his part to that. But That's what I see.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's go to question number. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're the teacher.
No, my brother, I'm just saying, just doing this little class. I'm not the teacher. Question 14. Who would no longer be counted among the nation?
Is that Sister Kathy, please go. I prefer.
I was waiting on you, Sister Rebecca. Please go.
Okay, well, come on, Sister Rebecca. It's on you then. Let's hear it.
2510 is what I have.
2510. Okay. And I will send them one over tomorrow afternoon. And over to Emma. And I have a normal to be counted. Okay.
Is that wrong?
Yeah, you're right. I would go with 10. I had incorporated some other ones. But 10 is fine. That just puts it in a nutshell.
All right, it reads as follows. And I will hand Moab over to nomads from the eastern deserts, just as I handed over Ammon. Yes, the Amorites will no longer be counted among the nations. Amen.
Amen.
But see, I was doing that thing like y'all say, you know, the whole concept.
No.
But I like how you answered, Sister Rebecca. Just give me the one verse or one or two verses. Not know from 8 to 12. Just get if it's just 10, let's just get 10. And I appreciate that spirit.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, now I'm gonna tell you something though. I'm not on your side like Pastor OB with Rebecca. I mean, with Sister Reese. I'm just trying to agree with your answer.
What happened to Reese? Is she still with us?
I know I didn't hear it no more, so I didn't know what happened. But she probably shut down when she heard the whole thing. Goes, oh, no, she was up when it came back up. I don't know. But anyway, I still love her because that's my girl. Question 15. What is going to happen to the Kerethites?
Kerethites. And that's the last one. It says,
You're kidding.
25. Yeah, the last one, 15 through 17. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The last chapter in 25, it says, so a message to the Philistines. I said, Philistia, this is what the Southern Lord says. I'm going to give you the whole thought. The people of Philistia have acted against Judah out of bitter revenge and longstanding contempt. Therefore, this is what the Southern Lord says. I will raise my fist of judgment against the land of the Philistines. I will wipe out the Kerethites and utterly destroy the people who live by the sea. I will execute terrible vengeance against them to punish them for what they have done. And when I have inflicted my revenge, they will know that I am the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
yes. Amen. I'm telling you, like Pastor O said earlier, he definitely makes sure you know I am the Lord. He wear that title sincerely. He wear it, you know, like I am the Lord. Don't do nothing unless I tell you it's like that. And I'm trying to learn to live like that. I'm definitely working. At all these years, I just figured out to start working over in the last 5 years. I should have been headed in gear. Anyway, Pastor O, let's see what you got to say for us and to us.
Okay. Well, Friday we got 7 o'clock. Bring back the family. Join the conversation. Tune in. Lock in. Get involved in the conversation. And Saturday, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, she's going to be bringing the word.
Okay.
So tune in Saturday, Saturday Church School is still on. It'll still be on until Pastor Tate say it's off. Probably be on to the end of the Book of Mark, and then we're going to switch over to in-person church Sunday school, which starts March 5th. So for a time, right, both of them are going to be happening together. Okay, and then Sunday, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching. Okay, mm-hmm. And on Monday, I have sent out the questions for Deaconess June Rogers' class. Get involved in the conversation. I love the way that roundtable conversation is happening. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And big shout out,
yeah,
to all the people. So many people tune in, but only a few speak. And that's just, I guess that's the way the Lord wants it. The folks are getting what they need, so it's all good. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And next week, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will be bringing us, wow, I'm talking all in the future. Sister Rebecca Johnson is going to be bringing us taking us through 26 through 35. Okay, so tune in next Wednesday.
Ooh.
Thank you, Deacon Reed.
Watch
excellent
out there,
job. Lots of fun.
Thank you,
discussion. Sir. So she'll be leading us on next week. And that's all I have.
Sister Rebecca, don't get the butterflies.
Okay, I'll work on
she
that.
A pro.
Let me tell you something, man. You need to get me. I be getting the whole bird in me. It don't be no butterflies. It be a pigeon or something in me.
Well, I can't
yeah,
tell.
Sure. I can't either.
I think, you know, last week I was having such a scary time getting ready to preach. My wife had to come in and comfort and pray for me all the time, but last week was something else. And after I thought back to 75 since I've been doing this, I still get the butterflies. But, you know, my pastor used to tell me every time I told Pastor Barlow, Brown, or Davis, they would all say the same thing. Good. When you stop getting the butterflies, then you got a problem. That's when you know you're doing it, you know, versus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well,
butterflies,
that makes sense.
They're normal. That's a sign of humility. That's a sign that you don't know it all. You can be confident, you know, in what you got to do, but you shouldn't be too overly confident because that's when you screw up.
Makes sense. Thank you.
All right.
I
know
we're going to pray for you, and we hope that you've probably been doing this already before you came to Running for Christ.
No. But I wonder when we get to Revelation, will that be the end of Bible reading class? When we get to the end,
when we get to Malachi, that'll be the end of Bible reading class. We already have the whole New Testament here on Blog Talk Radio. I think I did most of the New Testament, and then we picked up with some of the different teachers picked it up, and then we went to the Old Testament.
Right.
Okay, got it.
But we have over 1,600.
But believe me,
classes.
Sister Rebecca, he has something new. He will have something new for us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
so excited about what's coming new. Executive Board President Sharon Abraham, she'll be real familiar with what we're going into because it was like her and Sheila just fell in love with that. They used to have the same class at First Baptist Church, and so it's going to be classes along those lines. So, yeah, something is already in the works. I think we'll be through by the third week of June with this, if nothing happens to make us miss a week or whatever. But we'll be through by the third week of June. So right around July, we'll be starting a new thing. And there's a couple of other classes that's going to be coming up on Mondays, but after June's class.
No more your
books? Well, that's the book should be ready to go in March. And then we'll probably have a class on that because I've already developed the questions or the review questions and curriculum for it.
Okay.
But it'll be a short class, 4 or 5 weeks. It'll be on a Monday, but it'll only be like 4 or 5 weeks.
They still be not entertaining, intriguing.
Right. The Monday
it,
class.
I mean, it opened up your mind and
eyes. We'll get into a lot in this book. In this book, we're going all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. We'll be dealing with all seven of the dispensations and all of the different covenants and how they apply to us, and all of that is in the book. I was talking with Ryan Davis, Nicole's son, Ryan Davis, and I had to grab some excerpts from the book to answer a question he had. And they were on dispensations and things. So, yeah.
And I read the whole thing, and I still need the class.
Right, Rebecca copy edited. She's the copy editor on the book, and she still needs the class.
But,
you know, so yeah, she's read the whole book, every bit of it, from beginning to end, because you know I had to go over every single one of my words and my phrases and my sentences that don't seem to go nowhere. You know, saying stuff like, I don't even know what you're trying to say right there. You got to help me. So I'm like, I don't even know. She's like, I don't even know what you, I don't even know. I was saying,
but when you're writing, your mind's saying one thing and your pen will do something different.
Right. Exactly. You type some crazy stuff. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's
why you have a copy editor. Copy editor. Their job is to critique you and to make sure that, you know, that make sure the sentences make sense so people understand, so that people get it, you know, because Grammarly tells me the same thing. People might not understand what you're trying to say. And so you have to keep rewriting the sentence until you get it right, until it flows. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all pray for me because I have another book to write. This one, other one's back from the formatters, and I have another book that I'm going to be going to work on real soon. Working on the title page, copyright page, IBN number page, you know, and contents page. And once those pages are done, then you can start writing. So that's coming up, and that'll be about a 5 or 6 chapter book, maybe 2,500 to 3,000 words per chapter. So they won't be long chapters, and, you know. So you're looking at about maybe 25,000 words total. So,
that ain't nothing, 25,000 words. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you can speak 500 words in a few-minute conversation. You can use over 500 words. So it's not
hard.
You know
what
you're talking about. 4 minutes.
Yeah, you should see me on Twitter. Me on Twitter be fighting. You would say, he ain't even a Christian. I'd be fighting with Twitter because Twitter be like, that's too many words. And I'm like, dude, you know, but Twitter make you, what, 240 words? I get to that real easy. And then to start red marking all my stuff. So I'm working on being short. Guess that ain't working all this talking up. So anyway, it's back in your hands, you can read.
Okay. Well, my good brothers and sisters, I thank you for your time, your energy, your company, your collaboration, and any and everything that I didn't say, I'm thanking you for it now. And now we're going to pray, and we're going to leave up out of here. And we're going to start off. Dear Father God, we want to say thank you for this day, not just for myself, but for all my brothers and sisters. Lord, as I sit here and talk to you, I'm not just speaking for myself. I'm speaking for any part of the body of Christ, any member that belongs to the body of Christ. I'm praying for them just as well, even though I may sound like I'm talking for myself personally. But I'm asking you to give us all individually what we need to go on, spiritually, mentally, and physically, be able to lift your name up. If we got our spiritual, mental, and physical abilities, we should be able to lift your name up with some ease. Lord, we ask that you work with us to show us how to help others when it's necessary. Pray for them when we need to, and just do what we need to do to help somebody else other than just helping ourselves. Lord, I'm asking that you continue working with the brothers and sisters at Michigan State, those people in the foreign countries that have endured certain issues. I ask that you touch them just as well. Just because we're not there don't mean we don't feel for them. Lord, I'm asking that you touch us my pastor, his family, and each individual family that's represented tonight. Give them what they need for unity and for health and anything else that might be in their need, Lord. I know not what they need, you do. So, Lord, I ask that you work with us, you hold us, you keep us, and you take us where we need to go to lift you up at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Oh, man.
Ooh. Okay, good night, everyone. Have a good one.
Good night.
Good night and good luck.
We don't know why, and we fail, but we never try, and life gets overwhelming. But when I am in doubt, I trust that He'll work it out. His love surpasses understanding. His love lies forever. Hey, even when you feel like giving up,
giving up.
God, Heavenly Father, I'm moving to your spirit, control every part of my life and all the drama, even through the pain, even through the problems, I'ma still praise your name. I got a little testimony, wanna tell you about it. Devil tried to break me down, knock me off the mountain. I told my mom about it, she just started singing, shouting. Said my blessings coming soon, flowing like a fountain. Your faith stronger through your trials and your tribulations. But give it all to God, a little time, a little patience. Name it, claim it, your joy coming in the morning time. Keep this on your mind, even on your grind. Take Him with you everywhere you go, to keep your soul fed. She rubbed some blessed oil on my forehead. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, take control, make Him whole. Joy coming full force. Please believe it, y'all. Right 2020, out.